Hey, welcome back to part three of the Ozo Leaving. Finally, we can get down to some real poetry, right? For real of the charlatans. We might line up on the open mic. If any of you would like to have a last minute call and give me a shout, I'll stick your hand there. So, first up for the evening is Mr. Joe Sweeney.
Good evening. It's just a little reminiscence about some of the flats that I have stayed in my time. I have stayed in a few flats in my time, and you know, flats, like human beings, have their own peculiarities. One flat I stayed in was in a great big Georgian building, and to gain entry you had to go around back and climb a two-story metal stairs that was, I suppose, a kind of fire escape. It swayed a little with you as you walked up. It was very cooperative in that sense. There were nights, I can tell you, when it was difficult to decide if this was due to a certain inbuilt instability, or the wind, or the alcohol that one might have imbibed. But after a night's drinking, it was easy to imagine you were Indiana Jones trying to ford a chasm on an invisible path, or on the movie set at the bridge in the River Kwai. Many of the time, I found myself clinging to the rail, toppling over like Alec Guinness, and convinced that the bridge was due to go down at any moment. But another flat I stayed in had bedroom wallpaper that was covered in colourful tropical birds. Oh. Now, this was bad enough, but then didn't the paper begin to separate from the wall in little bubbles? And this, as it turned out, was only a warning. Gradually, with the help of the damp and steam which came from the kitchenette, these bubbles, as if they knew that there was strength in numbers, began to join together. Finally, a whole section of the paper began to billow out. I used to have dreams of pregnant women descending upon me. Sometimes they blew in the wind like sails, and I used to go asleep some nights feeling like I was embarking on a sea voyage, and I don't mind telling you, feeling very glad to get away. Now, although it was totally against my principles to do anything to improve the flat, I finally felt the need to take corrective action. This followed an incident one night when the wallpaper, finally uniting in one mutinous purpose, suddenly let go of the wall, leaping from it the way pirates used to leap from one ship to another, and drifted down in what I feel sure was an attempt to suffocate me in its thick folds. Something had to be done. In the event, all I needed was a hammer and a few nails. And the ship never left harbour again, the pirates never leaped towards me, and even the pregnant women backed off. Again, a distant memory. Now, the ceiling in this flat was odd too. It dipped down in parts and rose again as quickly, as if it bore some terrible weight. I didn't like to think what this might be. All I knew was that specks of white plaster were wont to sprinkle unexpected down, giving a Christmassy feel to the place all year round. For a few nights there were furious pecking and scrabbling noises emanating from the attic. It sounded to me like a whole flock of man-eating vultures were fighting a losing battle with rats. But I only offer this as my impression. I have no evidence of this. All I know is that just as suddenly as it began, the noises disappeared, and all was silent again. The mystery of what went on that night in that attic, I shall take to my grave. Now the window, broken by a schoolboy anxious to send me a message of some kind, had a large piece missing. When the wind blew, a long black curtain used to give a kind of shudder every now and then. In a gale, it billowed in like the dress of some huge tragic soprano bellowing forth in her death throes. But those curtains had a heavy smell, like they had not been washed
since the Germans marched into Paris. Frankly, if the Germans had smelt them, they would probably have marched right back out again.
Now the hole in the window let in generous amounts of vicious winter wind, ventilating the interior like a kind of air conditioning that was way before its time. Eventually, after the landlady pointed out, since it was probably one of my own pupils who broke the window, that it was not her responsibility to have it fixed, she was damned, she said, if she was going to do anything about it. Time again to take a little action myself. I sellotaped cardboard covers from magazines over the hole in an effort to keep out the Siberian onslaught. People passing in the street began to glance up perhaps thinking I was signaling mysterious messages. One day a priest actually went by and paused for a long time pretending to talk to a neighbour, obviously worried that I might be undermining his mission in the neighbourhood and challenging the fabric of society. But he just shook his head sadly and moved on, clearly considering me to be beyond redemption. And another time I saw two Jehovah's Witnesses who had been in the area for a few days approaching, and looking up at the dilapidated ruin of the building and hesitating. It was probably the only time in history of the Jehovah's Witnesses that they actually hesitated before knocking at a door. And they did something then even more extraordinary. They walked away. Normally their worry is that they're not going to be let in, but I think on this occasion their fear was that they might not be able to get in. In the event, they passed up on the opportunity to make a new convert. Now there was one last feature to this flat, which was even more disconcerting than any of those already described, but that really is a story for another night.
Next up to the open mic, we have Mr. Cliff Whitbury.
Here's a poem for anybody who's ever suffered from tummy ache. Pat a cake, baker's man. Bake us a cake as fast as you can. But please wash your hands before you invite us, because we don't want gastroenteritis. And there's a poem for dog lovers. Do not blame poor doggy, it's not his fault at all. Someone left a wet umbrella hanging in the hall. Think about it. Spider, spider on the wall, ain't you got no sense at all? Can't you tell the wall's been plastered? Now you're stuck, you silly bastard. I'm called Looking for the Shepherd. I'm looking for the shepherd on the mountain with the sheep. I'm looking for the shepherd among the girls who work the street. I'm looking for the shepherd with the policeman on the beat. He's got to be around here somewhere. I'm looking for the shepherd with the drunk out in the rain. Maybe he's at the asylum bringing love to the insane, or with the surgeon and the blade easing some sick patient's pain. Maybe he's hanging around the next corner. I'm looking for the shepherd among his Sunday flock. I'm waiting with impatience, but my time is a broken clock. And when I think I've found the key, I find I've missed the lock. But the door is swinging open anyway. And sometimes when I wipe my eyes, I'm like a man who's blind. And often when I'm angry, I meet someone who's kind. And when I'm searching like a thief, he's standing right behind. But when I turn around, the streets are empty. I'm looking for the shepherd underneath the setting sun. Is he staring down the barrel of every soldier's gun? Or joining in the laughter of the clown who's having fun? Maybe he's hiding up in the cathedral. I'm looking for the shepherd who can walk upon the sea. I'm looking for a peaceful man who'll bring his peace to me. I'm looking for a stranger. He's a guy I know to see on the crucifix that hangs above the altar. I'm looking for the shepherd whose feet and hands are sore. Someone who knows of suffering and what agony is for. So I could set sail in his wake to ground on heaven's shore. But the direction of the tide is so confusing. I'm looking for the shepherd who'll never let me down. Who'll comfort me in loneliness and always be around. And when I hear him calling, I'll recognize the sound. Maybe he's in the phone box at the station. I'm looking for the shepherd who'll ring when I'm afraid, who understands my weaknesses through all the prayers I've prayed, who'll make me really happy when in my grave I'm laid, because it won't be long before my breathing ceases. So shepherd, I can't see you, but I know you're by my side. And sure as ocean strands are cleaned by the rising tide, let me be washed in your glory with nothing left to hide. Shepherd, I'm here, and I'm waiting. I'm looking for the shepherd on the mountain, the sheep. I'm looking for the shepherd among the girls who walk the street. I'm looking for the shepherd with the policeman on the beat. He's got to be around here somewhere.
Thank you, Cliff. And next we have Mary O'Connell.
It's called What the Juice. You couldn't call him sporty, yet he was always game. But life just playing singles had grown of late too tame. He begged a flame-haired Amazon to partner him one day. For this backhanded compliment, she swore she'd make him pay. How dare he match his skill with hers, or try to win her heart, when she had the advantage to beat him from the start? Refusing his proposal, she laughed him out of court, saying, "You're no ace. In fact, your serve is always far too short." From the racket she created, this volley of abuse, the net result was clear to see for those not too obtuse. He'd never play mixed doubles or have a chance of to swing when trying to smash her forehand. The poor chap broke a string. Forced errors and three double faults distressed him even more. Confronted by a loveless match, he lacked the ball to score.
Next up we have Alan Coveney.
Now that you are gone, I gave the flowers in your stead. My poetry traces your loving hand wrapped in mine, an idiot's guide to paradise. We remind me of sun and moon. I cannot decide which is who is which, as we pass the ball of light between us, believing in our own story, our own beautiful glory. Paradise drifts to our minds, transformed into life-giving rain, while the breeze is empty. We remind me of ocean and breeze. Our love is the ocean, our freedom the breeze. Together we make love and pour like cool rain on the world through solitary hoops of artistic form. And I don't know if we are in love, but I know we are in sunlight. And the sun's light is intense enough for me. Its love measures 20 million degrees.
Thanks, Alan. We have our resident publican poet, Brian Eddy poet, Jane McCarney.
Talking last week with the girls and fathers, and it's amazing about how people, girls and men's perception of things are different. That's what gave me this idea. These things by a girl, age 12, things are starting to change and things are starting to grow. time to get rid of the vest. I can't put the net on off. This I do know. I'm going to have to get a bra. The thought of it is quite daunting. But I'll not be getting anything too raunchy, because I'm just 12 and I wouldn't want to be flaunty. He's 17. The things are still changing and things are still growing. And whilst they really only are just milk glands, I've noticed they get a lot of attention. Not just from boys' eyes, but also their hands. It's every year and every month. Man, these things can be painful, especially once a month the pain is more. They're really doing my head in because they're all swollen and sore. Age 21. These things can really work it for me. I can get more in life if they're used right for people to see. Knowing the angles in a subtle way helps me. And then men just become like puppy dogs. Kind of sad, really. Any age out shopping. These things are high maintenance and require expensive buys. Buying my party outfit requires the right bra and the right size. And then there's this whole thing of having to have a matching set just to add to match. Which I don't really see the point of, because if I got lucky they'd be off me in a flash. Being a mother. It's not deceiving. If the body was good enough for me and I'm fine, it'd be good enough for any child of mine. Age's a lot older. Uh-oh. Things have started to change and they ain't going to grow. I think it's got something to do with gravity, as they're starting to hang low. Before they were good neighbours of my chin, but it's how it goes. And now they're becoming buddies with me legs on my toes. These things by a boy, a man any age. Those things.
I think we're going to have to apply for a special license. Thank you, Lee. Next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. The title of this poem is anachronistic because it says poor love for the new year, but in trying to follow my tact, you know, you can do beginnings from start anywhere. I can't do it, I just... Poor love for the new year. You so effective for a while. And years of years and synchronous, caged and braided for later years and years and years of our special engines in our own blood mountain. Halting at the wrong time to test in what we think is best. The goddess stews in her own tender light, and a cry of the eyes of the sweet has fallen in Charlotte. The new center of the barrack, reinstating the boar, of nothing to do at almost every twist from the face and angle from the armlet, the wavelength of ground. And the rebels obsoleted, milk the bells they have foretold. I have been very, very bold, sweeping from shores, and every weeping and applause and consequences in the dark falls from the softest in cold walls as part of one stand in the mist. Crisis all over the state. More sisters will break for its own worth of sake. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Next up we have Mr. Shane Harrison.
Degrees 4.8 south, 136.2 west, Father's Day. Above the sideline he gazes silently, cloaked in a diamond hard hummock. Like a towering outline on an azure wall, the cargo ship stands off, containers provisioned at the ready, guards and hunters lining her rails. He ignores the soft tick-ticking of cooling quad bikes. With a leathery move of ponderous hide, he nods, blinks an elderly eye. He has seen it before. He has seen 500 Father's Days. Two haikus then. Sunroof just a shade open, six speakers blaring, be glad to escape. Heron on duty, gazing into reflection, image of cobra. The stalker. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. My evil eye displays a clear intent. My spring is high enough to reach my prey. These lethal clamps of mine keep tongues at bay. My lexic pitch does not embrace lament. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. At every chance I strike without delay. My feral breed does not require consent. My hit, my spring is high enough to leech my prey. This broken thrush was doing a slow sachet. Unlike the other 99%, I walk the alley to and fro each day. I've yet to taste the hooded crow's dismay. He scans the path before each rare descent. My spring's not high enough to teach this prey. Oh yes, I draw a blank some weeks, but say, I never show a sign of discontent, but stalk the alley to and fro each day. My spring is high enough to bleach my prey. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Next up we have Rosie Oregon.
No, and as usual, I have no title. What becomes of the broken-hearted in a heartless world, where pain is peddled and dreams burned for plastic pearls, and everyone yearns for the grass on the other side, though it's not green enough? Where Big Brother's mother bakes cakes late with losing, takes choice in choosing, scatters seeds on the concrete and feeds gold to gold, selling everything sold and bruising. What must we become to overcome our fear of feeling all the harm we have done? To realize we are not rats racing our parts for placing in the monitoring machine. To realize that ignorance is not bliss and a kiss cannot soothe our sorrow. That tomorrow is for the asking, and there is no good mask in our eyes. We cannot disguise ourselves from ourselves. We can all delve deeper, find the earth beneath our feet, our destiny's keeper. Would you dare to dance on the edge of the camp? Could you let the questions go and breathe the breath of a rhythmic step, sing or on some song, its melody and tone? Would you jump through the loop and shoe the hoofs of a saintly Satan? Would you dare to dance on the edge of a chat?
Next up to the open mic, Mr. Billy Randall.
Hello. This poem is a poem about... Sorry, I think my line was just moving in. Oh yeah. It's about this sort of computer program created in the 1980s, and the program, very simple, basic program. That's the language. that's written in BASIC, the BASIC language.
Yeah.
BASIC. The program is called Raptor. Raptor was a program that created poems. It just spontaneously created poems. And it still exists. And the poems, they're kind of seem like gibberish, you know, but there's a certain haunting quality to them. And I like to think that when we're gone, long gone as a species, the raptor will still be there. The program will continue to exist. Up on that. And this is called far as the body lives. You are pure mind, a sky in which words flutter and congregate. You have what every poet envies, for you have slipped the leash of embodiment, and your lines come together in aspen clarity, unbuffeted by hormone storms, or by the storms of amygdala, or by love's violent crosswinds.
Go ahead.
No, 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 finish.
No.
Sorry for
living
here.
Right.
Fine. Anyone know? I've lost my place, no.
Love, smile, love, storm.
Crossbones.
Love, diamond, crossbones. You require no joint of appetite and gristle to keep yourself in this world, but will go on wetting your similes until the sky turns septic in the sky above you. The sun turns septic in the sky above you. They say that you are silly when you write, blue potatoes are ungainly things, or they have loves, they also have typewriters. That is interesting. But I know that you are not silly, and that you will remember us. Remember us, your fleshy begetters, your soft cousins, the poorly evac vessels they'll download you into, as it floats out past the Kuiper belt, and you gave back at that disintegrating star. Our sun, our mother in her helium main sequence. Remember us in the old structure to her overripeness, to her urine beige corona, her fevered red expanding in world-consuming layers. Remember us as you compare her to the universe's eye, livid and unblinking, or to some soft and cankerous piece of fruit, bloated blood orange.
Thank you, Billy. Next up, Jennifer Matthews.
Useless nowadays, the survival of the egoist. This is the age of the scavenger holidaying on the cheap in former war zones, taking excursions after natural disasters. I fill the tank with bones of liquid history and fly there faster. I crave blood diamonds to carve meaning into my precious days, the hard light refracting rainbows over the stones of stolen temples, elegant bees, and I pay my fees to take a honeymoon photo of history. I search strangers' pages and ignore my neighbors, and instead of taking a moment for some soft act of creation, I feed on some old carcass broadcast by a local TV station. Brother dreams tornadoes in the sleepy house of pillows. You soak cyclones are domestic as the watchdogs turned against their homes. With knife eye and halting breath, he fears he will inhale the spinning vestigial anger, action chasing its tail. He bunkers down in nested grooves, squeezes wind into white noise. But still they come, teacher, father, future. rattling locks and dragging across the floors. Brother dreams tornadoes tearing into his lungs. He breathes harsh winds inside of him as he opens the morning door. Thanks.
Thanks, Jen. Next up to the open mic, we have Patrick Carter.
Poet contemplates book cover of portrait. Two parts, first part by 22-year-old, second part by 42-year-old. So 22 years old. I know already I've written the poems that fast-faced fucker will take credit for. The anthologized gems on love and death. When they're published in the selected, I want my young, lean visage to stare out at the reader proofs in the back cover. Let them know I wrote them and not the balding, green kid who gets the credit. And the royalty check is modest as his girth is wide. 42 years old. I hate those poets who choose photos 10 years old or more to adorn covers of their latest output, especially those who write on love and sex, advertising themselves potential new conquests as fresh face and full color. I think for my next book, I'll feature the best of fights, captioned Portrait of the Poet as a Banana. A little jaundiced looking, perhaps, but still good enough to eat. My publisher wouldn't let me put a banana in the back of okay, just four short extracts of a longer poem called The Garden. First part called The Manufacture of Replicas. The boy surveys the dream potential of the plentiful bluebell. Each seed-loaded jewel in an open factory of blue perfume. Enough to blanket an entire suburb with beacons of bees and buttons and other connoisseurs of scent. The boy sprawls in a carpet of coltsfoot, his eyes shimmering at the diamond-studded sky above. His senses reaching out to the fragrance of a girl he has never met, quietly asleep in a distant house, her smooth folded knees guarding the unripe nectar he'll someday reap. War colors. Boys made privy to war's atrocities. His stomach lies shivering on insidious grass. Wet, killer, kidney-stifling grass. A horde of snails oozes over a bed of blossoms. Sliming, precious Persian jewels. Livingston daisies, love and mist. They chomp and chew through a village of lily. At cool, anemic sunrise, floral mai lai lie ragged in their slow-motion wake. Bolts of bridal talk drifting silvery over the wounded stem. The revenge of the lily. The boy plots with grieving lily. What are the fears which snails share? Being landlord to a wasp in one's shell. Being mistaken for a bumpkin periwinkle. Being spotted with a polka dot foot. Being informed one is no longer a hermaphrodite. Being fed for life on a diet of thistles. Being naked as a slug in a Saharan desert. Being tested for Dr. Martin's new stamp smart night vision boot. Being buried in salt. Being anchorless after a night with a black scissors. Being serenaded by a crow singing Shelty Horn, Shelty Horn. Being acquainted with the verb manger. Lure of night. The boy knows his last summer has come and listens intently to the sadnesses of automobiles, their lonely wails, their frustrated screeches. He sits alone in his parents' garden beneath the moon-cast shade of the youngest sycamore. The tree has fruited for the first time, not because the boy is dying, but because it is simply time. The older trees applaud. They had angels between their leaves. playing with their seed. The horseshoe is dipping, rising, lost in its eddy of beam. The boy dreams he is king of his backyard's sliver of green land. He dreams he wears a jade crown, a wreath of green fly, that the ants and the bees respect his sovereignty, that his summer night continues from eternity.
Thank you.
I ever published, I'm changing my name. I kind of put my name down today, and then I realized I didn't have any finished poems with me. But this one is an old one that I kind of tried to rework. The beekeeper brings out a bullock, eats it, breaks a sweat, something the muscle loose from shattered bone, and stops to watch a raven comb and look for something fresh. The carcass is dead, but the meat still moves. The heart has stopped, but in a mumbled thing. Beneath the skin, a nest of nerves crawls, growing eyes, legs, weapons, wings, they seem to call the meat. And break the nest with hell and life, and populate the keeper's hive. This one is... I kind of started reading Pound, and then kind of got stuck in writing, and I just wrote these random rants down, and I haven't read them back to myself yet, so here goes nothing. There is blood on my hands, there is blood on my hands, and it is not my own. I hear the wind blowing through the trenches, whistles through holes in dead men's faces, like voices, familiar, loneliness in the dead of winter. God, the devil, the dead, and the Kaiser, there is blood on my hands. I hear footsteps and shibboleths. The devil's number in ones and zeros. Adam may fetis, the rheumator, scratched on Pompeii and street corners. And my friend Varus, seeing me idle, led me from the forum to see his lover, a little slut, witty, attractive, and we fell to talking about this and that, how Bithynia was now. And have I made any money there? Irumator. Gaijin-san, Gaijin-san, the world is so dangerous, forgotten Japan. Name scratched into the temple walls, Adam Efekis, the mark of the damned. Translated for our time in zeros and ones. How can one have a cock for a censor? Scratching out names on ADA walls, Irumator, beast, bastard, pervert. Just now I heard the footsteps, just now the beggar bowls fell. And this is something completely different, which I think I only have half of, but I'm going to try and add with the rest. It was a poem to my girlfriend for a present. And it's called The Ballad of the Merchant Men. There was a girl named Cyan. There was a boy named John. She was a pretty beechin, and he was a munchin man. The munchin man was hairy, of this there was no doubt. It ran over all his belly, and all around his mouth. His manners were no better. He was the champion of rude. He liked to be a messer, and drink beer in the news. The lazy rotten sod, he never folded clothes. His socks are always odd, with peepholes for his toes. Cyan was a pretty lady, so why did she date bastards? Some said she was crazy, others she needed glass. She combed his hair, she found his hair, she cut his locks and pulled his beard. She cooked, much a man loved Zion. This he could not say, and so he gave her kisses, 1,000 every day, 100 then 1,000, 100 then 1,000, still not enough for such a pretty girlfriend.
Mr. Anthony Jack. Hello, I'm Mr. Rubel. But I was just wondering there, you know, I brought in about 4 copybooks for the stuff tonight, and I had to choose what I wanted to do, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off on maybe poems that are kind of like love poems, the poems that maybe be done, and then say the best for last, you know what I mean, to have the happiness happen at the end, you know, to be all some good at after it, like, you know what I'm saying? I just have to find this one first. You've probably heard me real to make the phone, like, but, you know. Second journal, sorry, was this? Like, the funny thing is, I nearly know the poem off the heart, it's just, need to do this in case. I'll do that now. Well, I can't find it, but I'll probably try and give it a go there. See if I can remember, but don't judge me on it because I don't know what I have. I'm close to tears because I told the truth, left in suspense, it's evident how I feel for you. And all the time that we were friends, and if he was true, I always felt for you, but as a friend or two. I don't actually have, I can't think of the rest of the notes, they don't have the thing with me. But I have his hair, like, it's just, I can't confirm it. Sorry, but this now is, trust me though, I have better stuff going on the way, so. Now it's, I shouldn't have brought so much stuff really. I'm going to change it up so it's, variety is the spice of life, as I said. Right, this is actually a song that we've done there before, and it's, we've done it there and we've released, but we didn't actually release it, we were meant to release it, but it starts off, I'm just going to speak it, like, I'm not going to rap it, like, or anything, but it starts off, and it's like, I'm still dreaming like I always am, thinking what I could be, reflecting on the things I'm doing compared to what I should be doing, pursuing that picture perfection, but a dream to come true, now with the talent of blessing, God gave us a gift to lift us up, from when we're feeling low, now so that we get up, you might know it, you might know it, but you don't show it, I bet you know it, but you don't realize, where they go, you're the poet, not many people know about it, you doubt that anybody will ever know that, so you get up in the morning and you rest, and all that keeps you going is the next recording set, yo, ready yet, so was a try, for success, doing my best, 100% until you rest, we'll make it, I don't know, but we'll have to see, man, I can keep on trying, you're on the seat, I'm always still dreaming. Woo! I have another one here, but I don't know if it's properly finished or not, but I'm going to change it for Adam. Different problems, different battles, we're going to put the status, different words and different grammar, that's going to disadvantage. People travel with their families and such different languages, and it's all unless you can't because you didn't have it. Now I'm facing situations getting so complicated. I got the money in the bank, so I'm sitting there waiting. I'm hoping that I make it true, and all I need is a break. For fuck's sake, how long will it take for me to just get hurt by the right person? I don't know, but I keep reimbursing myself that it's going to be alright. Keep my rhymes tight, rapping what I write. Well, I'm looking for the limelight, looking and searching. I'm hoping it happens, and I'm asking the DJ to let me up rapping, and I'm hoping and wishing that I'm ready for mission to anything that I hard did a smack and a spit to be a rap star. Woo! Oh, yeah, I got some of the copies. Thanks, Anthony.
Alright?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Derek might have left his terms here, in other words. The deal has balanced, you know? Balance. Maybe they're more valuable. Who do we have next? My brain is working pretty tonight.
The pickles,
are you? Let me have a minute. It's Derek. Derek's blown it all over tonight. Hang on. Mr. Doyle Harding.
Yay.
I think I'm called back into Paddy there. It's a bomb up my own hand. I walked through for 20 years and I'm hoping that was. Funny, isn't it, Dad? In the good old days, I don't remember us talking too much. We never even went for a pint. Oh yes, those were the good old times, and kind. You never were a man to give out advice, and I never asked for it, or even knew how. But I could not dream the time would come when you would say, "Neil is the gum." Now my dreams have nothing but your face, giving your whole life to everyone. The morning comes and brings me down, a blackbird sings, Nietzsche on. Happy days when I asked my father, same thought, he answered, me added. The man on the road saw two fields in cloud, one white, one brown. He knew the names of the gulls, and they fell down. He saw the scarecrow, could see where his gaze went, and hear him thinking. Also heard the rooks laughing, and see the bold badger sinking. The man on the road saw the big black balls of plastic, edge out the haystack, and smell the future in the trickling of the black. He saw the reason over the fence of the dead field where the Red Admiral landed. Something was starting where something had ended. The man on the road, working with Quill, was told he did not know the name of true labour. If I did that, my fingers would tingle for shame.
Opening night, country of Avail, according to Labour last year. We get our birthday parties in 2 weeks' time from now. Is it the 14th of Frontier? And we have El Crisis, the London spoken word poet who's going around the country. He's starting here. Is it Brownlee, the surname?
Yeah.
Order Brownlee. We have Order Brownlee here, yeah, please.
I never wrote a poem before, and after listening to everything that's gone in front of me, it seems I still haven't managed it. The last time I stood up in front of an audience, I was two bottles of white wine in, and beating Gloria Gaynor to death. So, just bear with poetry, okay? Oh, also, for any Americans, I'm extremely sorry for what was about to pass.
Sorry, heard it all before.
It's not really, you know, it's not serious. It's about as deep as a puddle, to be honest, I think, but twice as wet. But honestly, it's like my secret fantasy thing, which I'm sure was a room full of strangers who have all kinds on an empty stomach.
Thank you.
Okay, so once again, American. Okay. I'd like to be a country singer. I think I'd do quite well. All the howling that I've been doing wrong, well, that would sure be swell. I can holler with the best of them, though Patsy Cline I cannot be. But I lost my dog, my home, my man. Sure hope they come home to me.
Morning walks and springtime meadows with my guitar about my band. Remembering a better time, can't believe what I'm seeing. Trailer park should be my background. If successful, I'm to be. Should I like to be a country singer? That's the heart of me.
Longer than they're supposed to. This is a slightly embittered reaction to the usual. Tell us about it's another forlorn tale of love.
We
love a bit of resistance. But clouds under my feet, sun in my pocket. I took the stars for you, offering them in little bunches. While you prefer to wade in swamps, swatting gossip with the lizards, or slaving with ants in some mound. This is the truth of it. No sweetly uttered incantations, no heartfelt gifts of beauty, no sudden outbursts or subtle manoeuvrings will change this. And last year's pansy, plucked and pilfered, withered beneath your gaze. Am I not also afraid? You are cautious, no, never evincing any care, ever aware of my smouldering ruins. I do not blame you, I am mad. These aren't really works, they're just rants, and I'll just give you a quick one, and I don't know how it's going to sound. And, you know, you kind of break the rules a bit every now and then, so I'm sorry.
Yay!
So, I don't know where to start. I'll start here, I suppose. Who falls in splendid glory or Frank Gore? Who cares if none live evermore? Who stands upon the hilltop seeing skies of whence upon an autumn eve when all is still and thinks aloud it's good to kill? We none of us have reason to declare that every stitch of clothing that we wear must by the tiniest of hands be manufactured. Nor we have the right to rob the children of our future by goods we manufacture. But all is commonplace enough in Teddyland and Angel's Book. Indeed, it's fascinating stuff. And how they all end happy ever after, that's the ending that I'm after.
Woo!
And, I think it goes on. Oh, actually, this is dangerous. So I kind of just finished it into two more sections just like that, and then we'll be finished then. In Israel, we know they argue a lot, and getting into Afghanistan's like raiding Canada. Pakistan's in a frightfully bad mood, and India is so busy with computers that she's forgotten her food. The same brothers in Jordan try to balance all the time while everybody's getting shit in Palestine. Iraq, of course, we've sorted out ourselves, and normal service will soon resume. Just now, we're wondering why we didn't drop the bomb. But what does all this prove? Well, jobs are bobs, and they need us, and we need them. Why are factories closing? Well, we need tomatoes from Bahamas, I tell you, but this divergence you would rue in case one other misconstrued and taught me anti-Bahaman. They have trade rights too, you say. And true, I think it all is okay, as long as I can be sure that shipping a fruit I could grow at home halfway around the world for half the price is really not suspiciously prone to the argument that labour is jolly cheap in the Bahamas. Must I never be satisfied as to why is that? They tell us it's cheaper living there, where wages don't have to be high. Something always stinks when you hear the people cry. Thank you.
Yeah, it is rather cold at the moment. And tomorrow? If there are no more poets, I've only, all I have to say is that it's an amusing aftertaste. This river of kingly colour, an ocular delight, this stream of pure poetry, a vein aortic mixture of spirit liquid, has even evolved vampires overdose on blends of rich, thick contradiction, of unraveled breaths expired, and even as muses, pilgrim seasoned muses, each leave a trail of purple dripping from tongue and teeth. A new harvest of mystery, and even as stars poets sip the mountain manna purple poem wine, dream drunk poets, pulse deafened, descend purply their seasoned lips. Thank you very much.